This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles, our buddy from Sports by the Book, will join us. We'll talk some NFL, some college football, look ahead to the quarterfinals, maybe even talk some baseball, get his thoughts on these moves tend to continue to trickle in here piece by piece here. Corbin Burns signs with Arizona this weekend, so we'll see what Jeff thinks. And before I forget, we usually do these shows Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This is obviously the Monday episode. Like 99% sure we're going to bump the Wednesday episode up to Tuesday just because we do have a college football playoff game Tuesday night, Penn State and Boise. Then the three games Wednesday. We just want to give time to, first of all, with the new year, that's a factor. But we want to have some time for these podcasts to just not age, give you some time to listen to the previews, break down all four games. So look for an episode on Tuesday. That is the plan as of now. And I think that's we're looking pretty good to have a Tuesday show instead of a Wednesday show. But we'll start with the NFL. And I think the story is Minnesota, because I can't think of too many times where a team has a game where they're playing for not only a division, but for the one seed and the punishment. And there's so much at stake now with only the one where, hey, if you don't get the one, the loser of this Minnesota-Detroit game, and it's an odd thing where Detroit plays Monday night and the game doesn't matter, but this Minnesota-Detroit game, the loser drops all the way to five. So there's so much at stake, the division, the bye, the one seed. It is all in. I know I've talked about Minnesota in past weeks as being a sleeper. A month or so ago, they were 11-1 to win the division. Well, they are a 2.5-point underdog. That 11-1 is like plus 120, plus 125, because they are a very small, very short favorite against Detroit, and that sets up a massive week. Green Bay just never beats these big teams. I know, and it was amazing how similar this was to the first matchup between Minnesota and Green Bay, where Minnesota's up 28-0 at halftime in the first meeting. They only win by two, a bunch of late points by Green Bay. Minnesota felt like was in control throughout, got dicey late. Same exact script today. Minnesota's up 17. They've got the ball. They're about to just, you're wondering if Love's even going to stay in the game. Darnold throws an interception, sets up a touchdown. Minnesota answers, but then Green Bay comes back, and it ends up being a competitive game where Minnesota needs a couple of first downs, not just one, two first downs to ice the game. They get them. They run some play action. Give them credit. They didn't just run the ball three times and punt, because if they gave the ball back, they were probably going to lose. So it is amazing how much Green Bay just gets, the benefit of the doubt. For a team that hasn't won, Love gets the benefit of the doubt. Green Bay gets the benefit of the doubt. The fact that Green Bay was favored this week was shocking. Minnesota was the better team throughout the day, and Minnesota wins. So a couple things quickly about this game. I thought it'll get forgotten because Minnesota won, but their second to last drive, Minnesota had 3rd and 15. They threw the ball. It was incomplete. They were being aggressive. I would have actually just ran and taken the minute off the clock or made Green Bay use their timeout. It almost came back to burn him, but like I said, Minnesota was able to get a couple first downs. Akers with a tremendous catch where he loses his balance. The ball almost hits the ground, but he maintains control. That would have set up an interesting 4th and 2 where Minnesota, would they have run another play and tried to get the first down where, hey, if you get it, you win. If you don't, you're probably going to lose. That would have been fascinating, but that's not something they had to worry about, as they win and they set up this epic battle. I would think this would be the Sunday night game heading into next week, the final game of the season on NBC, because there's not a lot of other options. And this is the theme today, theme going forward. Usually heading into week 18, you don't have this much decided. We know 6 of the 7 playoff teams, and Denver gets a layup against Kansas City, where Kansas City is going to rest their starters. And Washington, Atlanta is playing right now. We know most of the teams in the NFC. There's very little at stake heading into week 18. I think that was one of the big themes today in the NFL was, look, anytime you have two games on Wednesday, a game Thursday, three on Saturday, then one on Monday, that's 7 games right there that are wiped off the Sunday slate. The Sunday slate was very, very weak. Only a handful of games early, only 2 games late, which I can't remember happening much, if at all, to only have 2 4 o'clock games. And one of them was Browns Dolphins, which was really tough to watch. But I mean, that's just the price you pay. We like these weekday games. You're going to pay a price on Sunday for it. And we paid a price today because, me, like everybody else, you settle in. Sunday, 1 o'clock, ready to watch football. And I know what teams you're playing, obviously, but I don't always know like what times. Then the games are about to start. You say, wait a second. This is Raiders Saints. This is Giants Colts, which I'll get to. This is just bad game after bad. Jags Titans. I mean, you could have skipped the 1 o'clock games and not miss much based on the matchups. Then the game's not end up not being any good. Jets Bills was a disaster. So it was a weird situation where Sunday at 1 o'clock was really not appointment viewing. And the story And keep this in mind for next year. Keep this in mind for week 18. These teams don't tank. These players don't tank. Now, once in a while, you'll get a team like Cleveland who puts Thompson Robinson at quarterback and says, hey, the best way to lose games is just put a bad quarterback out there. But for the most part, these players play hard. If you don't play hard, you're going to get hurt or get somebody else hurt. And half these guys aren't going to be on the same team next year anyway with all the changeover in the NFL. So what do I care about getting you a better pick? I'm probably going to be on another team, most of these guys, or a lot of these guys. So the Giants win. They annoy their fans as they were set up to have the first pick. The Raiders have now won two in a row. They've dropped in the draft. So the draft is the interesting story here. And I know you're annoyed if you're the Giants. They had a miserable year, this miserable run. At least I'm going to get the first pick overall. And then you lose out on that. You just kind of throw your hands up in the air and just say, hey, I'm apathetic at this point. I don't even care anymore. This team is so dumb. But look, what do you want them to do? Go out there and lose on purpose or throw out DeVito or throw out a bad quarterback? I guess the silver lining is it's not a great year to have the first pick. Now, I know you'd rather have the first pick than not, because even if you want to trade down, you have more ammunition. You get more picks. You'd stockpile. I get that. But maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I remember when the Jets missed out on Trevor Lawrence a couple years ago. It was the end of the world. They won a couple games. Oh, no, Lawrence is going to be great. Now, they ended up with Wilson, who stunk, but Lawrence is nothing special. So this idea that, hey, we have to get the first pick, you might look back in 3 years and say, man, it was a blessing in disguise. We got the third or fourth pick. We ended up with a better player. We end up not reaching on a quarterback. And maybe you don't want the circus that is Shedeur Sanders or Hunter or these Deion guys. Maybe you end up with the better player. So I know it's you'd rather have the first pick than not, but it's not a guarantee you were getting a good player. Maybe you would have reached on a quarterback that's not worth the pick at one overall and just felt the pressure to pick a quarterback. So maybe this ends up being a blessing in disguise. I know it's very little solace right now. It's very little consolation. You're frustrated if you're a Giant fan. And if you're that was a weird game between the Giants and the Colts, a rare situation where both teams' fans are equally annoyed. If you're the Giants, how can we screw this up? How can we blow our pick? And if you're the Colts, you say, we had a chance to maybe get in the playoffs. It was a long shot anyway. How the hell do we lose and give up 42 points to the Giants? If you give up 42 points to the Giants, that's one of those games where, hey, everybody in the organization, I know Steichen had a good year last year as a first-year coach. That's one where everybody's on the chopping block. You might want to just clean house and start new. You might just, man, that's one where you have to look in the mirror and wonder what the hell you're doing as a franchise if you give up 42 points to the Giants. So New England now in line to pick first overall. They play Buffalo next week, but they host Buffalo, and Buffalo doesn't need the game. Buffalo's locked into the two, so it's not impossible New England wins next week. So maybe these musical chairs continue to get jumbled here. Just that has been an interesting subplot. As the games themselves, in terms of the playoffs, there hasn't been that much. Obviously, Minnesota Green Bay was huge. We keep an eye on the NFC South. That game is happening now. By the time we talk to Jeff, that game will be finished, so we can have an idea what's going on there. But for the most part, we know more than we usually know heading into week 18. Usually week 18 is filled with drama, a million scenarios. That's not going to be the case this year. It's pretty straightforward. You only have a handful of games that are going to matter. So it's not going to be the usual week 18 with just the scoreboard watching a bunch of games, trying to figure out a bunch of scenarios. We're going to have a bunch locked in, and they have these two Saturday games, and they usually try to throw you something on Saturday that matters, but something that's not going to change Sunday where, hey, if they win, they clinch and that eliminates other teams. They want to have as many meaningful games Sunday as possible. That's going to be hard to balance both those, where they throw you a meaningful game on Saturday, but save something for Sunday. There's just not enough meaningful games to go around this weekend, and they're going to throw you two Saturday games this week. I'd be curious to see, and we'll find out pretty soon here what those games are. They like to have teams that are in the mix, but again, they don't want to give you too good of a game because that could dry up the scenarios and have a dead Sunday. They don't want that. So we'll see. Monday night game here, Detroit, San Francisco. I'd only look to San Francisco. I know Detroit will probably be motivated just because that's their mentality. Tune-up game, San Francisco. This is where they lost the NFC Championship game last year. It'd only be San Francisco for me. I guess I would take the 3.5 here just because I don't know what Detroit's motivation is, but not a game I'm really willing to bet. We'll see what Jeff Parles thinks coming up here in a bit. But yeah, it's just an interesting year where much more is decided than usual. Usually week 18 is so great because there's so many moving parts, so many different scenarios, so many meaningful games. And that's just not going to be the case. It's a little more straightforward. Denver's probably going to beat Kansas City to a pulp. Kansas City's not going to play their guys. And I feel like, and this is just from memory, teams that are out of it play better spoiler than teams that are going to the playoffs and rest their guys. Like if you played in Arizona or if you played one of these teams that isn't in the playoffs, they might take some pride, some solace, and hey, I can be a spoiler. I'm not going to the playoffs. I'm taking you with me. I'm going to ruin your season. When you get a team like Kansas City that's already in the playoffs, and again, this is just from memory, from what I can recall, it's more, hey, Let's just get out of here. Let's not get hurt. Play our backups, and we'll, you know what? You can beat us all you want. I'm sure Kansas City, they're not too scared of the idea that Denver's in the playoffs. Whereas if they lose and, you know, somehow Cincinnati got in, they probably wouldn't love that. If they gave them their choice, hey, who would you rather have in, Denver or Cincy? Probably be Denver. So they're just not going to show a lot of fight. I would expect Denver to roll in that game. And that was really, you know, it's funny. I've said this about Bengals games three different times where I've come in here and say that was the game of the year. I remember the Bengals Ravens game 5 or 6 weeks ago, early November, where that Thursday night game decided by a 2-point conversion back and forth. I was like, man, that was the game of the year. Offense, lead changes, just a lot of fun. And then they played a game against the Chargers that was just as good. The game Saturday against the Broncos might have topped all of it. That was an incredible game. Zach Taylor not taking a knee. Could have just run out the clock and kicked the field goal. He tries to run it, but not score. And the guy gets hurt sliding down at the one, which gives Denver a timeout back and puts a minute back on the clock, forces Cincinnati to say, hey, do I leave Denver 45 seconds and I'm up three, or do I score a touchdown and give them a minute 45? Game goes to overtime since he misses a kick, but they get it back. Denver could have clinched a playoff spot with a tie. It was just a fascinating sequence. It was a great game. It was a really great game. Terrible coaching by Cincy. And they're probably going to miss the playoffs by a half a game here. They're going to have nobody to blame but themselves, but just a wild, wild game, man. Cincy plays some incredible, incredible football games. So that was the game of the weekend, you know, as the Christmas games stunk. Chicago Thursday night was a disaster. How Caleb Williams did that with the clock again, I have no idea. And then the Sunday games outside of Minnesota Green Bay, which got good late, the Sunday games were not very good. So we'll see here. I think we're going to get a good playoff, though, because if you just fast forward to a few weeks from now and you get the division round of Bills Ravens is the 2-3, and the Ravens are going to kill the Browns this week. If the Browns play DTR, I think that line's 17. I think the Ravens are good for it. Ravens are going to beat them by 30 points if they play that quarterback, which I would imagine they would. Ravens Bills in the 2-3 with Buffalo hosting, Lamar versus Allen, all the MVP stuff. And then Pittsburgh versus the winner of Kansas City versus the winner of Pittsburgh Houston. And that's a major advantage for Kansas City. First of all, that's the weaker opponent. You don't have to let Buffalo and Baltimore battle it out. You get a bye if you're Kansas City. So Kansas City's pretty well set up. But if you get a division round of, let's say it's Chiefs Steelers. And then let's say it's Bills versus Ravens. And then in the NFC side, some combination of Vikings, Lions, Packers, and Eagles. I mean, that's a hell of an Elite Eight. You only have whoever wins the Houston-Pittsburgh game is kind of a dead team. But other than that, you got seven really, really good teams. And maybe I'm guilty of including Green Bay in that mix too, because maybe Green Bay hasn't earned the right to be on that level. Like I mentioned earlier, they get a lot of benefit of the doubt where – yeah, they just, every time they step up, they lost. They got swept by the Lions. They got swept by the Vikings. They lost to the Eagles. Like they never beat these good teams, but people kind of, you know, assume they're one of these really good teams. They beat up on the bad teams. It's almost like Miami or Dallas last year. They just beat up on the bad teams, but never beat anybody that's really good. So a lot to do. We'll see what Jeff Parles thinks about everything. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. And the Sunday night game has gone final. It is Washington advancing to the playoffs, winning by a touchdown in overtime. Overtime is where these underdogs go to die for the second straight day. Terrible coaching. Raheem Morris and the Falcons botching the clock cost them a chance to go to the playoffs. If they just get a couple yards deeper, they're probably going to kick the field goal at the end of regulation, go to the playoffs, win the division, host the game. Now they are likely done. Just a wild game to discuss that and a lot more. It is our buddy from Sports by the Book. It is Jeff Parles. Jeff, what do you make of what we just saw? My goodness.
I mean, kind of came out of nowhere too, right? Like, Washington did basically nothing in that first half, and then they can't get stopped. And then first off, it's so funny because Raheem screwed up the end of the first half. They still had two timeouts remaining at the end of the first half, and he let clock run at the end of the first half. Then he makes a decision that about a third of the NFL coaches would have made, that fourth and 11 with about 3.5 minutes to go, which I thought was 100%. Hindsight's not 20/20 on this, Will. 100% the right move to go for it on fourth and 11 in that spot. You weren't getting the ball back again if you punted back to Washington in that spot down a touchdown. And then credit to Penix getting them down the field. And it was pretty funny. I did laugh pretty hard when I saw those Pitts that made that touchdown catch, which is a great catch. It's the best play he basically made in the NFL in a big spot. And then You get the stop. It's like, oh my goodness, Atlanta really going to win this game in regulation after everything that's happened here? And of course that happens. And then they never touch the ball in overtime. But, you know, in the end here for the Falcons, A, the playoffs are better off if Tampa's in. They're a better team. They're more likely. I mean, look, a Tampa Green Bay. Well, actually, with that win tonight, Washington moves ahead of Green Bay. So the Packers all of a sudden are looking at a date with Philadelphia in the 2-7 now, which is just a brutal draw of it for Green Bay. But look,
and a brutal draw for Philly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you can look at it both ways, because I think a third time with Philly against Washington would be a definite win for the Eagles. But boy, that game will carry it a lot. Tampa's going to annihilate New Orleans next week. The Falcons are done. The Seahawks are done. The Rams, that's the other thing. The Rams clinched the West because of that now, too. I mean, the Rams, who were dead after five games with no offensive line, with no skill position players other than Kyron Williams, and here they are yet again. And just credit to Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. It's very funny in this year in the NFL, where you have so many teams that just stink out loud that you kind of forget that these teams that are in the six, are in the six and the five, and in the NFC's case, the seven hole, you know, you got a bunch of really good teams that are in the playoffs. You only, realistically speaking, if the Broncos make it on the AFC side, you're of the 12 teams, you really only got two total dogs in this field, which is a lot better than usual in the NFL.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I was talking about in my open, this is for heading into week 18. I always love a week 18, all of the scenarios, all of the drama. We really don't have a ton of that. As they just announced the schedule, we're going to get the two AFC North games on the Saturday. I was curious what they were going to do. So we get Ravens going with a chance to clinch the division. They're going to be about a three touchdown favorite by the time that game kicks against the Browns and DTR, who's just atrocious. And then Saturday night, that's the 4 o'clock game. Saturday night, we're going to get Steelers and the Bengals with a miracle happens and the Ravens win. Steelers are playing for the division. Either way, Bengals are playing to stay alive. So are you surprised they went that way with the Saturday games? And do you agree that usually we have more at stake week 18, where we're going to sit there Sunday, 1 o'clock next Sunday, you know, next week. And a lot of this stuff is going to be decided.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of got super hosed by the fact that the NFC West wasn't on the line. Right. I mean, I had no problem with Baltimore and Cleveland being that first game. It makes sense. They continuously put Kansas City in that slot. Right. Will, I mean,
yes,
that early slot, the Chiefs, 1 year was to win the division. 1 year was to win the one seed. Like, they just continually have put Kansas City in that slot. I have no problem with Baltimore going there. You don't really have another game, in all honesty, after that. And you're not putting a game that's a three. And I know the NFL, the league office doesn't care about the spread, but you can't justify putting a game with a three touchdown spread in a prime time. They're already ridiculous that it's in a single window spot. But if you put it on Saturday night, I mean, Jesus, everyone would tune out by the middle of the second quarter when it's 27-3 Cleveland not scoring 3 points in the first half. Am I crazy? 27-0 at that point. But no, I have no problem with it. And look, there'll be a lot of people that are going to say, oh, Baltimore wins, Pittsburgh has nothing to play for. That's just not right. Because the Steelers, the difference between the 5 and 6 seed this year in the AFC is at least for one round a huge deal. Will, if you get Houston, whether it's the Steelers or the Chargers, remember, they're the same record. Steelers have the tiebreaker on the Chargers going into this week. If the Steelers lose, the Chargers are going to be gigantic favorites against the Raiders. By the way, great job by the Raiders, only losing 7 slots in the draft the last 2 weeks. Different discussion for, I would guess, a little bit later in the show here, Will. But if the Steelers got to end up tied with the Chargers, because the Steelers, as bad as it's gone the last few weeks, they're still, what, a 3.5-point favorite, 3-point favorite at Houston? I mean, same deal for the Chargers. Like, the Chargers are favored in Houston. And then if you're the 6, you go to Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and both of those teams are touchdown underdogs in that game. So, I mean, it's a huge difference. It's the difference between winning a playoff game and at least getting a crack at Kansas City, where, again, I don't think either of those – I don't think the Steelers can go to Kansas City and win. The Chargers, third time, played them close twice, well-coached team.
Not a quarterback.
That's not – I don't think that's the matchup Kansas City really wants to see. Especially off a 25-day gap, which is what's going to be for the starters. So, I mean, look, it probably amounts to nothing, like, for who makes the Super Bowl, but you never know. If the Chargers get the 5 seed, I wouldn't put past them for pulling a stunner at Arrowhead. I don't think they would, but they have a hell of a better chance than Pittsburgh or Houston does.
Yeah, I was thinking what Pittsburgh-Houston would be round one. I don't think you can get to 3 either way. I have no idea who would be favored. They both.
Oh, Pittsburgh's not the favorite in that game.
It's almost like they're the only. They're each the only team the other one could beat in this field, because I wouldn't pick them against pretty much anyone else outside of maybe Denver.
I would pick Pittsburgh against Denver. I don't know what I'd do with Houston, because Houston is such a mess.
Oh, right, disaster.
Now. I mean, the offensive line's a disaster. Stroud's regressed. I think DeMeco Ryans is a bad in-game coach.
Terrible. What he did on Christmas. You know, going for it, fourth and go up from the 4, fine, but then you're punting fourth and 2 from the plus 42. What are you doing?
I actually had no problem with going for it on fourth and go.
Me neither. But then punting from fourth and 2.
You're not staying in that game without a touchdown in that spot. And then following up with the punt is just like ridiculous. And Slowlick's been pretty well exposed. And knowing people who've been around that team, it's not a shock that that's happened. I'll save my Bryce Young take for a different time, Will. But the conversations we were having at the end of last year with Stroud and Young, those conversations are going to look pretty crazy in about 3 years from now, I think, if this continues the same way for Houston, if they don't get their act together. But I would make Pittsburgh 3, personally, in that game against Houston, even with how bad the Steelers have been over the last few weeks. And I think Pittsburgh's going to lose to Cincinnati, for what it's worth, Will. I do think the Bengals are going to win that game and at least keep themselves alive until the Jets eventually lose to Miami on Sunday.
Yeah, I just think at 3, you would get so much sharp money on Houston just taking the home dog.
You know what? I know it's a home dog in the playoffs, but with the way Houston has looked.
I get it.
I get it. Go ahead.
And it'd be perfect. It'd be perfect Tomlin Steeler luck box to play the one team they can actually beat and find their way into the second round. Then everyone gives them the golf clap.
What happened on Christmas would happen again.
I agree.
It's a horrible matchup for Pittsburgh.
But they would almost save face if they were able to even win one playoff game, because they get so much credit for a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 8-9 years. They get so much credit as it is. If they ever won a playoff game, it would be like, oh man, we'd be writing poems about Tomlin. It's just crazy what the credit Tomlin gets.
Look, I'm not as low on Tomlin as you are. It's very hard in this league to be consistent at this point, especially without elite talent. I think they have a talent issue more so than anything. I don't think they're overly talented. That's, I think, been their problem since, look, the going back in the time machine, the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the divisional round with the Killer Bees, the Bortles giving up 40.
Or losing to Tebow.
The Tebow one, I think, was a... That I'm willing to give them a break. I think that was an utter fluke game. The Jaguar game was not a fluke. The Jaguars were better than them the whole game and scored 45 points. That was bad. But look, I think with that team, the only reason they continually are in the playoff mix is because they have a good head coach. I think they've been devoid of talent for 8 years at this point, personally. I don't think they've had good quarterback play since that last team. They haven't really had high end.
I agree with all that.
Other than maybe one, I just don't think. I think he's the reason that team has at least been in the mix. If they had a bad coach, I mean, you're talking about. I mean, they could have been on the streak. Denver's on them, missing the playoffs.
I agree with just about all of that, except for a couple of things. First of all, do you like all of the? Hey, we're down 14 and we're on the plus side of the field and we're going to punt with seven minutes to go. Those are terrible.
This is the part of it I agree with you on. I'm not saying Tomlin's perfect.
Also, those last years of Roethlisberger, those last 5 or 6 years, he had Roethlisberger, he had Antonio Brown, he had Bell, he had good defenses.
Sure.
And he's overachieved with middling talent. there were a lot of years where he did less with really good talent. It's almost like he's going to go 9-8 with whatever kind of team you give him. You give him a great team, he's going to go 9-8. You give him a crappy team, he's going to go 9-8. So he underachieves with the good teams. He overachieves with the middling teams.
Yeah, and you know what? For me, like if Mike Tomlin coached the Jets and made the playoffs three times, I'd be very happy.
I get it.
Right now. So I mean, it's just kind of like for the Steelers, like yeah, like they haven't been to the Super Bowl since they lost to Rodgers and the Packers. So like
in the year they won, Brady got hurt, the bracket broke right, Giants got upset, you know, all these different things. Favre with the Jets got hurt. A lot of things broke right. And look, that's 2008. That's a long time ago.
That was 2000. Look, that was
one four playoff games since.
What they won two of the year they made the Super Bowl. I think it's five.
It's not that many.
Look, there's. I get where you're coming from. I just think that with especially the Steelers, this team this year. I mean, the fact that this team won double digit games.
I get it.
This team stinks. They're not a good team.
I get it.
And they're still there. But also that's a testament, like, well, I mean, the race for the first pick is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in this league. Can you remember a year where you legitimately have nine teams within one game of the first pick going into the last week? Like, it's ridiculous how bad the bottom of this league is this year.
All right, take it away from there, because that to me was – you know, one of the big stories of the day, and the other one was Minnesota Green Bay. We'll get to Minnesota in a minute because that is obviously the Sunday night game next week. That was just announced as we knew. But to me, you sit down Sunday, 1 o'clock, you get into your routine. It's like, wow, these games stink. You had seven games on non-Sunday between the Netflix games, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. And the race for the one, like you mentioned, the Giants win a game. The Raiders have won two in a row. So, you know, this idea that these teams are tanking is just not how it goes. And now it's kind of turned upside down where the Patriots have the driver's seat to get the one. But who knows? They might win next week.
Well, let's start with the Giants, because the fact that Drew Lock, after looking as awful as he's – and look, I'm a Drew Lock defender. Covered him when I was at Missouri. Think he's a great guy. It was upsetting for as a Missouri grad and someone who covered him to see how bad he has been with the Giants. And then for him to uncork the sixth best game in the NFL by a quarterback since 1999 by EPA is one of the most outrageous things of all time, Will. I don't know if you saw that. The only games that have been better than him since 1999 by EPA per play are two games from Peyton Manning, a game by Phillip Rivers, a game from Lamar Jackson in 2019, and 07 Tom Brady game. Like,
absolutely incredible.
Like, are you kidding me with that? Are you kidding me that could happen? And look, on the flip side of that real quick, for Indianapolis, could not have happened to a better team with what has happened with them this year. They bungled the Richardson situation. I'm happy Flacco. We don't have to talk about Flacco anymore. He's been a corpse this year. So I'm happy we don't have to even discuss that. But it is amazing what's happened with this race, where the Giants basically up until this week, it looked like the worst team in NFL history the last 6 weeks. The Raiders, who I have thought all along were the worst team in the NFL other than Carolina when Carolina was at its absolute bottom. The fact that they've won two in a row, Will. The Raiders were favored these last two games, Will. Like, they were favored in both of these games and won them both. And now, look, it's New England's going to be playing the Buffalo backups. There's absolutely no reason for Allen to play more than – let Allen continue his consecutive game streak. Let him play a drive and get him out for the Bills. And if Drake May plays like he did 2 weeks ago against the Bills, New England's winning that game. So, like – The Titans are the big beneficiary of this, but the sick part with that, Will, but guess who? The Titans play the Texans.
The Titans are probably going to win, yes.
And the Texans are probably going to play Davis Mills this week for the majority of the game. Like, there is still a lot of ways for this to get very weird over the final week of the season, Will. It's astounding. It's really funny. The only two teams, the Giants may end up with the first pick anyway because they're playing the Eagles. And even the Eagles backup should beat the Giants. But like the only like three or four win team other than the Giants that I am 100% certain will not win next week is the Bears because they're not capable of beating the Packers. That's the only 3 or 4 win team that I am certain will not win in week 18.
Well, the Packers might just treat it as a bye.
Doesn't matter. Well, they could trot you and I out there and they'd still beat the Bears. Doesn't matter.
All right, we've danced around it. Minnesota, it's remarkable how similar 2 games were versus Green Bay, where they win both games by exactly 2. And if you watch play by play every game, it feels like both games against Green Bay, they could have won both games by 30 plus. It's very strange how remarkably similar and just odd those 2 games were. And now we set up Minnesota versus Detroit. Detroit laying 2.5 for everything. The one seed. That's it.
That's it at home. Wow. Wow. That really.
Well, I mean, you think about it. The worst unit on the field is going to be the Detroit defense.
You just said it. That's the market is telling you and the bookmakers are telling you that the Detroit defense is by margin the worst unit in this game. By margin. And, Will, this game is going to dictate who makes the Super Bowl in the NFC. This game's going to dictate it. Because if Detroit wins this game, even with all the defensive problems, I Green Bay, I do think if Green Bay gets a third crack at Detroit, they can beat them. I really do think.
Are we at the point where we got to stop a little bit with Green Bay and they get
here's the problem with Green Bay now. Green Bay has lost every game against the high-end teams.
Yes.
So, yes, you have to now, at least for me, even though I like watching the 2 games against Detroit, the first game, if Jordan Love doesn't throw that pick 6 at the end of the half, that's a 1-score game. And the second game, they were dead even. The second game was a dead even game that Campbell made.
Last team with the ball.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Campbell made the correct decision knowing that if I give the ball back to him, I'm going to lose the game or at best be in overtime, and correctly went for it and got it. In all honesty, it was a pretty luck box play, because if anyone breaks through initially, Goff might not even get the handoff off. I've been trying to go against Minnesota now for 6 weeks. It's worked on the spread in some games. It's not worked at all on the money line. And at this rate, like, what's the point? Their defense is good. Darnold, let's put it this way. If Patrick Mahomes' numbers this year were what Darnold has, Patrick Mahomes is winning MVP unanimously, totally, despite what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are doing. And Darnold has no chance of winning the MVP because he's Sam Darnold. Kevin O'Connell, in a year that has so many great Coach of the Year candidates, Kevin O'Connell should be unanimous. Like, that's how a high level of a job KOC has done in this. I still like Detroit short of 3, but boy, I'm not sure how they're going to get stops. Like, I feel like the Lions are going to have to score in every possession they have the ball for the most part, because just their defense is so battered and Minnesota's offense has just been unbelievable this year. And look, for Detroit to make the Super Bowl, they need to have home field. They need that bye week because they at least need some guys to be able to come back if they are even capable of coming back.
They need to recharge the batteries that wild card weekend. They need a recharge weekend.
Correct. If they don't get the bye, geez. Look, Tampa beat them already this year. If that's the matchup, that's no gimme right out of the chute. And then you have to go possibly, if you're Detroit, you possibly have to go on the road to Tampa, which is no gimme, at the Vikings again, which first time was game decided on a kick at the end of the game. And then you have to go to Philadelphia to beat the Vikings. They're not doing that with this defense. They're not doing that. And for Minnesota, again, if it's Minnesota, Philly in the NFC title game, I still would lean Philly because I just in the end trust Hurts more in a big game than I trust Darnold still. But boy, if you're going to have a shot to stun everyone and get to the Super Bowl and possibly win it, you get those games in that building, which has already proven in a small sample size of big games in that building, then unless if you're Daniel Jones, it is a very hard place to go in there and win in a big game. Man, that's tough to overcome for everyone. Again, if Minnesota wins, hey, you know what? Actually, it doesn't matter. I still think Philly is the favorite to win the NFC for me. I still think they're the most well-rounded team. If Hurts is out there, they're the best team. Again, they have a handicap in their coach, in Sirianni, who I still don't trust.
And but possibly a tougher round one game.
And look, if they have to play Green, if Philly's got to play Green Bay, which sure as hell looks like is going to be the matchup at this point, in a 2-7, that is a brutal matchup. Because even though we love this Commander team, a third crack at Washington for Philadelphia would have been a great draw for them. Because if Hurts doesn't get concussed, they were on their way to scoring 45 points in that game against Washington last week. So, boy, it really is fascinating what has happened in the NFC. And it's funny because I think there is a legitimate argument. And again, I think it's a weaker argument for the Rams or the Commanders or the Bucks or even the Packers at this point. But I think you can make a legitimate argument that all seven teams, assuming it is Tampa and not Atlanta, out of the NFC South, you can make a legitimate argument that all seven of them could possibly make the Super Bowl. I cannot remember another, especially in the seven-team format. We've been doing it a short time. But, geez, even when we were still in the six-team and eight-conference format, well, the last time you were able to say that all six teams that made the playoffs, now seven in one conference, all had a legitimate argument to make the Super Bowl. I can't remember that.
All right, we'll move on to college football in a minute. But less than five-word answer, who is in the Super Bowl and who wins?
Kansas City over Philadelphia.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
A rematch of 2 years ago with the same result.
Yeah.
Just, okay. What, any awards? Crazy. This will probably be the last week. Awards will even be up.
Yeah.
MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year. It feels like similar to, hey, we're going into week 18 in terms of like a lot of things are decided. It doesn't feel like many of these awards are up for grabs, except I guess maybe Comeback Player of the Year. I think Allen's going to win MVP. Daniel's going to win Offensive Player of the Year. I have no idea. I don't follow much on the defensive side, but any awards thoughts?
I think if Lamar goes out and dominates Cleveland in front of a single window audience and Allen plays one series, we could be getting towards a legitimate tie. Like, it would not shock me. 50 votes. I know we actually now count all the votes, so it might come down to second and third place, but this is going to be an obscenely tight MVP race.
Who would your vote go to? Who would you vote for?
If I had a vote right now, I would vote for Josh Allen.
Me too.
But it is really close. And for me to say I'd vote for Josh Allen just shows how good he's been this year. But it's so close. Daniels is winning offensive rookie. Barkley's winning offensive player. Kevin O'Connell's winning coach.
What are they doing for a comeback?
It all depends on if the voters follow the rules.
I agree. I had Sando on two weeks ago, and I basically asked him, hey, are you going to follow the rules? He goes, absolutely. I'm going to look at the guidelines. I'm going to look at the criteria, and which would eliminate Darnold, but I don't know that everyone else follows that criteria.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like,
yeah,
if we're going off of the, hey, you were not any good, and now you turn into a high-end player rule, Darnold would win unanimously.
Sure.
Like, and he should win unanimously. But I don't. I have no idea. I really have
Me neither.
Because all the injury guys.
I don't think it'll be Rodgers.
No chance. By the way, I was shocked. Aaron Rodgers had a 1.2 QBR on Sunday. I've watched a lot of awful quarterback play in my lifetime, just in the last 3 years. Other than Tim Boyle, that was the worst quarterback game I can remember from the Jet quarterback. And that includes the 6 inches gained in the second half game from Zach Wilson against the Patriots a few years ago.
Who's the kid from Washington State? Luke Falk started.
Will, I don't know if you saw this. When Ritter played that Monday night game for the Raiders, Mr. ACL is someone on Twitter who I respect his acumen when it comes to this, tweeted out that he had Pierce and Ritter as the worst QB coach combination he can ever remember, which got me thinking the Jets have had a lot of bad combos. And the one that my brain immediately went to was, wait a second, they had Adam Gase
and Luke Falk
for 2 weeks. done it for 2 weeks. That, by the way, and part of the reason I remember that, that week three game in New England was the worst beat of all time for me. A Jet team total under 10.5. And the game, they ended up going over it because I don't know if you remember this. Jared Stidham threw a pick six to Jamal Adams with 6 minutes to go to make it a two-score game. And Belichick had to put Brady back in the game because of how bad Stidham was in his two drives.
I remember that because that was early in the season, the Monday night where Simeon was the backup and got hurt. Darnold and Simeon got hurt.
You're conflating two games. Week two, the week before that, that was Monday night against Cleveland. I was actually at that game.
Yes.
Monday night against Cleveland, Odell Beckham's return to MetLife, and Myles Garrett broke Trevor Siemian's leg early in the game, and Falk had to come in, and it was like, geez, the Jets are. Jets could play 16 quarters in this game and not make up a 14, not even score 14 points. But that was my answer for the worst, at least modern day, worst QB quarterback combo was Gase and Falk. I don't even think it was remotely close, honestly. Even though there were some good ones in the Hugh Jackson, Cleveland Brown era, though.
Yeah, Kaiser and Hugh Jackson, pretty much anyone.
Kevin Hogan was a good
one. Is that the kid from USC? Was Hogan?
Cody Kessler is a
Kessler,
kid.
Kevin
Hogan was Stanford.
Yes.
So there are a lot of bad ones with Hugh Jackson in those two plus years in Cleveland.
All right, last couple minutes. College football playoff.
Yeah.
Your favorite bet and who are the four winners?
My favorite bet is Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Now, I obviously, we had Chris Felik on Sports by the Book on Friday. Obviously, you're with him all the time. All the time on the group chat segment that you guys do on Bear Bets. And he gave the explanation on why he likes Georgia, and I understand it. Where you have two very similar teams with the way they're constructed offensively, especially now with Gunnar Stockton, where it's a quarterback with good running ability, and Georgia has more talent. Like, I understand that, but this is a hell of a spot for Gunnar Stockton, right? Like, first career start is in the Sugar Bowl in the college football playoff, where if we get something real wacky in Atlanta earlier in the day, the final SEC team left will be the Georgia Bulldogs. Like, boy, that is and you're going up against Notre Dame who, I'm just throwing a Northern Illinois game out. That was a fluke. Like, that was just an utter fluky result. That can happen in sports. I know Northern Illinois deserved it. It was a low-score game. Like, I get it. But when this is all said and done, I think this Notre Dame defense is what wins the day here, Will. This is a different level of speed that Notre Dame has had in a very long time. So my favorite bet is the Irish. I took them plus money to beat Georgia. I have them advancing, obviously. I have them playing Penn State. I think Boise covers, but I really feels like if they have any shot of winning, Genty's got to have like a 180-plus yard game. And I just don't know if he's capable of that against that defense, or more that offensive line is capable of blocking that defense to give Genty that sort of chance. Texas will beat Arizona State. I just think it's a brutal matchup for ASU. Just the one team that they will not be able to block well is Texas because of that monster D-line. Horns win. And then the Rose Bowl, I'm picking Oregon, but I have no confidence in that. I think it's pretty clear these are the two best teams in the country, and they're playing in the quarterfinals. So I think when it's all said and done, the only reason I lean to Oregon, I trust Dylan Gabriel more than I trust Will Howard. That's all it comes down to. So I lean to Oregon, but if you told me Ohio State won, I'd be like, all right, well, they're the second. Oregon's the best team in the country. Ohio State's the second best team in the country. It should be a coin flip game.
All right, last couple minutes, baseball. Last time we talked, Freed just signed with the Yankees. I actually think it's been a nice little recovery. I'm not ready to go as far as say it. Oh, they're better than last year. I think that's a stretch. But Bellinger, Goldschmidt, a pretty stacked bullpen, assuming, hey, that home run David Williams gave up to Alonso's not going to linger with him. It's a different team. I don't know if it's a better team, but it's a really good team. So thoughts on the Yankees, thoughts on the Mets, and just anything else in the last couple minutes here. Burns signs with the Diamondbacks. Whatever direction you want to go.
I'll start with the Yankees. The Yankees, even with losing Soto, they're not better than they were last year, but they're going to win more games this year than they did last year, Will. They're going to win more games because the American League around them is horrendous. I mean, just look at the rest of the league at this point. Who's the second best team? Who is it at this point? The Orioles lost their only good top line starter and win a playoff series. Win a playoff game first, guys, with this group. Win a playoff game before I can take you seriously. If we're staying in the East, the Blue Jays are going to end up trading all their guys at the deadline. The Red Sox have made a few reasonable moves, but the Red Sox are probably no more than like an 85-win team, right? Like,
I'd like them at plus money to make the playoffs.
They might just make the playoffs because of how weak the American League is. Tampa's roster is as bad as I can remember for this new, we're like Moneyball-ish Ray team. The American League Central is beyond a joke at this point. I think all those teams that were in the playoffs last year regress. I think Detroit was a lockbox down the stretch. I know they played unbelievable baseball. They're not going to do that again. The Guardians are worse. The Royals, I'm really disappointed in, because I thought after last year where they spent money to make the playoffs, I thought they were going to do it again this year, and their only acquisition has been Jonathan India. So disappointed in them. White Sox are awful. Twins, Twins are going to win a playoff game. Yeah, let's be real. And in the American League West, I mean, the Astros are considerably worse. The Mariners are – that's an ownership group. That's a joke. The Rangers, again, they won their title. They're content. Like, hopefully the guys they paid money for will be healthy again. And then the A's and the Angels are no threats. Like, I think I mentioned a half of a good team after the Yankees. So the Yankees are going to win 100 games next year, Will. Will that be enough to beat whoever comes out of the NL? Probably not. But at least they give themselves an opportunity. If they win 100 games in the regular season, they might get home field in the World Series if they get there again. So nice recovery. I think they're good. I don't think they're a great team. NL side of things, I'll tell you this, I was surprised to hear the Mets were in on Teoscar Hernandez. That would have been a really good pickup, actually, if the Mets had done that. You could have DH'd him. You could have played him in left field. I don't think he's a horrible outfielder like some do, but it made sense. Dodgers had more an extra year, run it back, no problem. I get it. But Will, I tweeted this the other day, and I think I texted you this. 7 of the 8 best teams in baseball are in the National League now. Especially after the Diamondbacks signed Burns, which was a shocker to me. I didn't even know that was in play, that Arizona could be on that. There is going to be one really good team that misses the playoffs next year, Will. And if you made me bet it right now, I would say it's the Philadelphia Phillies. That would be my guess of, hey, one of these really good NL teams is going to miss the playoffs. I would say the Phillies, because them and the Padres really haven't done much of anything this offseason. We kind of knew that was going to happen with San Diego, just obviously with the previous owner dying in the last offseason. They're looking to cut money now. I get it. But what the hell of the Phillies? What are the Phillies doing? What are they doing? I just don't get what they attempted to do. They're in on no one of note here. And in that NL East where, boy, we talked about it last time too, the Nats are not a pushover anymore. Like, they're not going to be able to rattle off 12 out of 15 like they've been able to do over the last few years against Washington. The Mets are better. The Braves are going to be significantly better because they're just going to get healthier. The Phillies, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres, one of those three is going to miss the playoffs. And it's going to be a nice, juicy price on one of those to miss it, Will.
Jeff, appreciate it, man. Thanks for staying up late. NFL, college football, it's a good time of the year. You got anything? It's bowl game, Iowa, Missouri. Oh, you're Missouri Tigers tomorrow. We got like a minute left.
If Mizzou loses to Iowa, I'm going to be very disappointed. Let's just go.
The bowl games have actually been fun. I mean, they don't mean anything, but the entertainment value, some of the stuff these coaches do is just, man, you scratch your head.
I know I texted you with you on this. The day after Christmas.
Oh, God.
And I was on Toledo. I genuinely had Toledo plus the points, Toledo money line. So the result could not have been better for me. I was so mad at Narduzzi, who I despise to begin with, who I think is on top of being an imbecile, is a jerk on top of it. The decision to kick the field goal from the 1.5 yard line in order to get into the 2-point conversion shootout where you're going continuously.
Unbelievable.
From the 3-yard line is one of the most minus EV plays in the history of football. It was unbelievable, Will. And yeah, no, look, it's college football. You get a lot of weird stuff from these coaches. But that was truly remarkable by Narduzzi.
Jeff, sports by the book. Appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for the time.
Of course, Will.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Jeff Parles. Rate, review, subscribe. Again, look for a Tuesday show instead of a Wednesday show. Talk to you then.